Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. We are glad that you are with us this Easter Sunday morning. You are always welcome, and we are thankful that we have, as I said, we've had some several services this past week, and I know folks are tired, and yet there's time for family, and we're glad that you would take time to be in the house of the Lord with us this morning. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that we feel. I appreciate the presence of the Lord, the resurrection power of the Lord that is able to cleanse and heal and touch. And we are growing apostolic legacy. We have a great history, great legacy in this church, this area, this across the street and here. Over 100 years, the Lord's been good. And I appreciate that it's same power that drew people to the foot of the cross to repent of their sins, to be buried in his name, to receive his spirit, is the same power that's still around over 100 years later, filling and changing and healing, etc. And so when you think of all of that, and I have been, of course, really studying and looking at the cross. And we talked about last Sunday the power of the cross, and we've talked about the importance and the practice of the cross, and all of these, the principle of the cross as well. And today we're going to sort of wrap up this just with things that I have touched on in the past, but really bear sort of bringing together and with some different verses and just looking at them in a sense of living the cross. Because you see, we have a powerful mandate because of the cross that we should live the cross. And I've read the scriptures and I have quoted the scriptures when Jesus would say, except you deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be a part of me. And there were individuals that came to Jesus, and we've looked at some of those. The man that had lots of stuff, and the Lord recognized what his cross was, that he needed to just get rid of all of his stuff, and basically told him, said, why don't you sell everything you have and give to the poor? And the guy left sorrowful, because that was a cross he could not reconcile getting rid of. And that was something that he just couldn't in his own mind feel was necessary. And I realized coming to the Lord and being really honest and open before him and saying, Lord, I want you to live in me and live through me, means that you become very vulnerable. And I talked about that last week because of the vulnerability of the cross. This love that was greater than any love. And love is one of those things that leaves you vulnerable. When you know that you love someone, then you know that they can hurt you. They can make you feel bad. They can take and hurt your heart and your emotions. And so when you realize that what the Lord did for us on Calvary was become totally vulnerable. That's why the Bible would say something like, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for someone else. That is completely vulnerable because, you know, I probably would have been guilty of having at my disposal 72,000 angels. That's what he told them. You know, he said, I could have called 12 legions of angels. That was 72,000. I might be not real Christian in my life. You know, if a car cut me off or somebody said something, I might just kind of say, sick them, get them, they've done wrong, wipe them out. You know, don't kill them totally, annihilate them, but just make them wish they would have been nicer, you know. And that's my humanity. And so, yet Jesus was completely vulnerable. And so when you look at how do we live the cross, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and he said it like this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Wow, a powerful statement. He said, I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. Yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not necessarily in the Son of God, but of the Son of God. That's why I have to tap into that presence of the Lord. I have to tap into his faith because he loved me and he gave himself for me. Now, I know that's in the old King James English, and some of you may not recognize how to, that seems a little cumbersome. So we'll look at it in the Amplified Classic, and that's kind of got a lot more words and it might be easier to understand. That same verse says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to, and reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. My version would be what Paul in that first part of the verse was basically saying is, I'm hanging on the cross with Christ, but I live. Wow. I'm at that point of hanging on the cross with Christ, but I live. Now, what that does is it opens up a whole, and I've touched on it these past three Sundays and tried to explain it, and yet it is a simple yet profound understanding of sacrifice, of payment, of the payment for sin. We sang about the blood and the payment for sin. And we sang about what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I can take you through an Old Testament all the way to the New Testament and show you the progression of the lamb, the Passover lamb, and how that lamb's blood was that thing that washed or that cleansed or that allowed that sense of a cleansing to happen. And yet, when you study the offerings, when you look at all of the offerings, there were not just sin offerings and not just trespass offerings, but there were other offerings. And the point of all of those offerings was that in the Old Testament, when you came, you got as close to the presence, which was behind the veil, behind the laver of water, as you could get when you offered an offering for sacrifice. Now, we all understand the concept. We understand the concept. It's not a new concept to us. It's not a new concept to the world of offering a sacrifice. If you've done something wrong, you pay for it if you get caught. And, you know, then you'll have people say, well, I paid my debt to society because I did something wrong therefore I have to pay my debt. In other words, in order to be readmitted to society, if you have been doing something, whether it's acting belligerent, driving while intoxicated or under the influence, or as you reach a certain point, they remove you from society, and then, you know, you pay your debt to society, and then you're allowed to come back into society. And hopefully you've learned your lesson that you don't do that anymore because you don't like the indebtedness that it costs to be separated from society. And then, you know, you stop and think, well, maybe it won't get caught this time or whatever the case may be. And so we understand that concept of paying the, that the blood saved us from that sense of indebtedness, because you begin to realize that, you know what, I have to have the blood. I have to have the blood. And yet, there is a point of living the cross that is a little bit different mental understanding of it is not just simply to pay my debt. Yes, that's a part of it. But it is to draw me close in identifying with the Lord. So that when I am doing things and I am faced with either allowing my own human nature to respond naturally the way I would like for it to, and I allow the presence of the Lord to stop me, then I am living the cross. Let me show you in the Bible. Maybe it'll make it a little clearer. Colossians, Paul wrote, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified, when he said, so kill or deaden and deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. And then he goes through a list of, not an exhaustive list, but they cover a wide variety: sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, all greed and covetousness. And he said, for all of that is idolatry. How is all of that idolatry? You say, well, I don't worship idols. I love Jesus. But when I allow myself to my animal impulses to run free, I am basically identifying, here's what he said, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. When I give them a piece of my mind, and when I say and do things, what I'm basically saying is I'm not living the cross. They messed me up. How dare they talk to me that way? And Paul goes on here, New Testament, it is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming on the sons of disobedience. Those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will. Now that brings up a whole nother point, because it's almost like when you knowingly do it, it's worse than when you accidentally do it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we all kind of feel that way, because when, you know, we give them a warning, and I understand, it's in us. I was watching the youngest granddaughter, and she has this fascination just now. It's that with plug-ins, they're about the right height. And I'll say, no, 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 and she'll keep looking at me. And her hand is gone. No, And she keeps looking at me. I know you're talking to me, but maybe you don't really mean it. I get it. He said, among whom you also walked when you were living in and addicted to such practices, but now put away and rid yourself completely of all these things. And then he goes through another list. And I don't like to read it because, you know, anger, rage, bad feeling toward others, curses, slanders, foul mouth abuse, shameful utterances from your lips. Whoo. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old, unregenerated self with its evil practices and have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into further and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of Him who created it. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There is no room for, and there can be neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythians, who are the most savage of all, slave or free man. Wow. He said, when you live the cross, then you can't look down your nose at anybody else. Ooh, that's hard. It's hard to live the cross because they're not quite as good as I am. They've never been. Look at what they've done, and this one's done, and that one, huh? And we have that sense of anger, and we can look bad at somebody else. And he says, without distinction of persons. Then he said, clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, His own picked representatives. Living the cross means we're supposed to walk out of here and know that we've been called and chosen to live the cross. Wow. But I don't, it's not fair. It's not, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God Himself. How? By putting on behavior. And sometimes it's a put on. Maybe not at your house, but sometimes you have to put on tender heart, pity, mercy. Huh? Oh, Lord, help. Kind feelings, lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, patience. When you live the cross, all of a sudden, tireless and long-suffering, the power to endure whatever comes with good. Ouch, Pastor, Easter, resurrection, woo. You're hard on us this morning. I'm talking about living it, readily pardoning each other. Even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Then he goes on, and above all these, wow. That's hard enough, much less, I mean, what? Put on love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind in the peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be what? Thankful, appreciative. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like my lot in life. I don't like where I am. I don't like. It's time to live the cross this Easter. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things. And as you sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to God with His grace in your heart. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. You say, I can't do it. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 19th through the 20th verses says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the which you is in you and you have from God, and you are not your own? Whew. The Lord paid the blood on Calvary to purchase you. Now He wants you to live the cross. Wow. You say, Pastor, He says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What are you saying? I am saying that it requires staying full of the Spirit of God to do what Colossians says. It requires staying full. And yet at some point, what I have to recognize as I am in my daily life, I have to realize, you know what, Lord? I'm not doing this because I'm holy. I'm not doing this because it's killing me to do it. It's killing me to bite my tongue right now. It's killing me to go, I want to say, I want to give them a, oh, that's why, I just want them to, I'm living the cross. When I say, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, go ahead, the next slide. Oh, there it is, there it is. 2 Corinthians says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who? God. I can't do this without His presence, without His blood. If you're going to live the cross, you're going to have to die daily. You're going to have to remember every day, Lord, I remember what You did for me. And if I have to bite my tongue today, that's how I get to draw close to You today. Ooh, not just forgive me for my sin. Oh, I have to ask for a lot of that. But I need the cross to remind me how to act when I don't want to act like I ought to act.
That's good. That's good.
And I don't need my family to tell me, are you living the cross today? Because they like to take my words and nail me to the cross. But I hear them in my ears. Am I living it? Or am I just talking about it on Easter? Oh, God. That's why Paul could say, look, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Always, notice the phrase, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Oh, I want to see Him. I want to be like Him, but I don't want to be like Him at Calvary. I want to be like him at resurrection morning. In power and in authority. He said, for which we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Wow, we're delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in your mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. In other words, when I control myself and go to the cross, you know what it's supposed to do? Work life in somebody else. Someone can see and say, I know you didn't do that from your nature, because by nature you're not that. But oh, go ahead, next slide. For the which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed once a week, once a year. You know the old story about the little boy that was saying, I don't know if I can be perfect, you know, one day. I don't know if I can do it a half day. Mom, I don't know if I can do it an hour. Maybe I can do it 1 second at a time. But Paul said, at least every day, I've got to find a place to recognize I need the cross in my life. Here he says, for our light affliction works but a moment, that far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While you keep your eyes not on the things that are going on around you, and I know we got all kinds of things. I read this past week where a Hamas leader said the reason that they started the war, he said the reason they started the war was because the Jews named the five red heifers that were given in 2022 and they're about to start sacrifice, and then that will mean the Messiah is coming, and they said we've got to stop the Jews. Now I don't know whether or not all of that's true or not or real or, you know, but it was like, wow, all that, they have more faith than most secular Jews that they believe in the sacrifice of the red heifers. And I'm like, wow, what's going on? But you know what? You can try to keep your eyes on trying to figure out what's going on in Israel and what's going on in the world, what's going on in the coming election and what's going on. But you know where you're going to have to focus most of your attention? On the eastern skies, while we look not at the things which are seen, because those are temporary, but we look at the eternal. I want to be like Jesus. I need to be like Jesus. That's eternal. Go ahead. As Psalms, David asked a powerful question all the way back in Psalms. 1,076 years before Jesus came on the scene, David wrote this Psalm, 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. Then you know what he said? For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. He was basically saying what we all know. We can't do it. Even after the cross, to live like I'm supposed to 24/7. Oh, I fail miserably. But that doesn't mean I stop trying. It doesn't mean that I turn my back on that. That becomes my goal, that I can be like Jesus. Paul told the church in Rome, he said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justify. I can't do it. Nothing but the blood. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is at the right hand of the God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. You see, he had started this letter earlier in the fourth chapter. The last verse of the fourth chapter, which goes right into the fifth chapter, they didn't have verses, but 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when I've messed up, I'm so thankful for the blood, because not only does it wash, but it draws me back into his presence. It draws me closer to God, just as the Old Testament sacrifices, that when a person brought a sacrifice, that was as close as they got. Now, because of the blood of Jesus and the rent-torn veil, we can enter right back into the presence of the Holy Ghost. I've seen individuals who have gone way away, and they've not lived for God. They've done all kinds of things. And when they just finally turn and come back to God, it's as if immediately the presence of God can flood and fill and flow through them again. And you go, Lord, how do you do that? Because of the blood. But he doesn't want it to be that constant in and out. He wants me to live this. What shall we say to these things then? Paul said, do we keep living in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Why? Because we're supposed to be dead to sins and live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus, that's why we talk about being baptized into his name. We're baptized into his death. When you go down in a watery grave of baptism in the name of Jesus, it is symbolic of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. You say, do I have to be baptized again every day? Not here, but yes, you do. You're going to have to get baptized again and again and again and again and again and again, sometimes multiple times a day into his presence. You say, oh, well, I don't need to pray. I don't need to get all that. You know what? You need to get submerged into his spirit as often as you can. If you're going to live the cross, it's going to take a lot of the power of the Holy Ghost. Here's what he said. As many of us were baptized, buried with him by baptism into his death, likewise Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in what? Newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Wow. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I'm here to tell you that sin does not have the power to defeat the blood of Jesus. I don't care what the addiction is. I don't care how long you've had it. I don't care what it's been part of your family. Maybe all of you were Hatfields, and then you married a McCoy, and that's like double bad. You can't help your anger. I'm here to tell you the blood is able to break that, and you can live the cross. That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is what? Free from sin. Easter is resurrection. I like living in the resurrection. But you know what? I've also got to live in the cross. I've got to live the cross in order to experience a resurrection. Would you stand? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what the cross you're facing is. I don't know if it's, you don't understand my temper. You don't understand the way I was raised. You don't understand how angry I get when people say something to me. You don't understand. You just don't understand. No, but I can tell you Jesus understood. And he still understands. And he may point out to you this week a cross. I don't want you to resist it. I want you to embrace it. Say, this Easter, I want the cross to be a part of my life. Oh, I mentioned last Sunday how that when Jesus was on the cross, he said things like, Father, forgive them. He worried about his parents, his mom, and his brother, and he worried about others, and dialogue with a thief, and he was honest with God. I feel forsaken. Then he was totally committed to him and said, into thy hands. And a centurion yelled, this was the Son of God. What are you saying? When you see someone on a cross, it's amazing the impact that it can have in their life. They see Jesus in you. I want somebody to see Jesus in me this week, don't you? Let's just raise our hands.